Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is
Woohoo!
the day after Selection Sunday. That means we're down to 68 teams left for the shot to win it all. Yes, the bracket came out yesterday. We're here to review what happened, go through the bracket, make the picks for you so you don't have to do it yourself, and talk about a bunch of other stuff. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. Got Joby Fortson and David Griggs up top. John Titel below me. David Dorman and John Sully get to his sides.
Championship week's over.
Is the Survival Boys said 1 or 68 right now?
It says championship week's over.
No, you got to wait till we have one team left, and then for us to remember to let you out.
Last year you didn't. It was about the middle of May.
All right. Well, we'll try to do better than that this year. Maybe June. Let's start with the bracket itself. Titel, you're consistently one of the top bracketologists. I know you had a little bit rougher year this year than other years. What do you think about what the actual selection committee did compared to what you thought they were going to do?
Yikes. Can we do the whole show on that? I mean, yeah, 67 of 68. My only miss was I missed Virginia, as many, many, many people did. So it's not like it's going to ruin my day. I had Oklahoma. I almost said St. John's, but kudos to most of the panel for talking me out of that. Not that it mattered. I've had a pretty good track record, frankly. The one that stood out to me, and I don't want to go out of order or anything, but Joby's favorite conference. I had Nevada as a 7 seed, and boy, were they not. Everything else was within a couple, but that was the one that really grinded my gears, shall we say.
Yeah, Joby, I want to ask you both about how your GNG did and maybe mention the fact that you've been railing on the Mountain West all season, and I think the committee kind of listened a little bit in that they were all seated a lot lower than people projected.
Yeah, three things I'll say on that in quick succession. One is there was no Mountain West rep on the committee, but yet every other major conference did. Just saying the conspiracy theory component. But then on the merits, you know, I feel very vindicated over the Mountain West. They did not have quality wins out of conference. They racked up big wins. And thus, then all of a sudden, you had all these teams from Utah State to New Mexico to Colorado State, all bouncing either in the top 30 or really darn close to it. So that means, oh, you lost at home to New Mexico. That's no big deal. They're a quadrant one loss. No, the committee looked at it and really broke down and said, no, 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 no. That's a quadrant two loss. That's the way it's supposed to be. And so the committee went inside the numbers beyond the quadrants a little bit. And then finally, the JNG, this is one of the reasons why the JNG, just like Titel, missed on the Mountain West. The teams, that was where the JNG missed. It plain and simple, was the Mountain West. But luckily, around the edges, the JNG did very well. UAB getting above Samford was a key differentiator. And so little above the fold type stuff here and there. Duke is a 4. Not many people did. Most had Duke as a 3. And so the JNG actually wound up 13th overall in the 95th percentile, along with, and he's not going to be here tonight, but tied with Rocco Miller from bracketeer.org. And so from our little Hoops HD panel that we convene this year, the metrics did it, the pure mathematical metrics. And the last thing I'll say on this point is, I said it in another forum, is there is a chance that because the JNG is updated every day, and because it's a mathematical formula, it's just updated and loaded in the bracket matrix every day. People talk about this as a groupthink. It's starting to turn into a groupthink exercise. Those of us who turn it in every day lead the groupthink, if you think about it. So I think a lot of people follow the JNG's weakness on the Mountain West and overrating the Mountain West, because the formula that I apply did overrate the Mountain West. I don't personally think they're that good, and the committee agreed with me, but the formula, due to these Q1 wins, the formula has to look at the formula. It did rate the Mountain West higher than I personally would, and higher than the committee did.
Once again, the number one computer metric out there in the world, yes, for picking it. And
By a lot.
Close to being number and beat a ton of human predictors, a ton of them.
I mean, 95% of them, to be honest. 95% of the humans went down. And I've never come close to Tytel in the past, you know, to put in perspective. I always say, mine's the science. Tytel is able to use both art and science. This year, science did win. But don't count on it going forward. I think John's five-year average, even including this year, will be well ahead of him.
Real quick, two of the key teams left out were Oklahoma and St. John's. Dorman, do you think that any of them have either one of those teams have a major gripe of being left out?
Major, no, I really don't. I thought when the bid thieves were coming, were popping out left and right over the last weekend here, I thought they were in major danger. I was surprised a little that the Biggies didn't get one more bid, but no, I don't think there was a major gripe by Oklahoma or Seton Hall.
It is kind of funny because you had four Big East teams, actually, St. John's, Seton Hall, Providence, and Villanova, all right there within about the top eight teams out. I think a couple of them are NIT-1 seeds. A couple others decided not to play in NIT. We'll get that in a bit.
So Big East Twitter and fandom and internet message boardness and all of that reacted very professionally, very class, you know, just to
very calm.
Yeah, very calm. You know, very graciously to being left out, so much so that I would have paid money for a committee to come in to come out and say, yeah, we were big on St. John's, but then Rick Pitino made a lot of great points and it just made us reevaluate them and decide they weren't any good.
Okay, to your point, Barry Collier, the outgoing Butler AD, was on the committee.
Yes,
clearly
he was.
Did the Big East no favors here.
He did not.
Let's go ahead. I'm going to pull up the screen share here, if this works. And in very small form, there is the entire bracket. But let's go ahead and blow this up a lot here. And what we're going to do is go through region by region, discuss the three teams, the two first round games and the potential second round game. And then I'm going to ask one of you to give me the picks. We'll kind of alternate around through the podcast here, and we'll eventually get to build a full bracket here for everybody. But starting in the East. Stalika, what do you think about the UConn, Stetson, Florida Atlantic, Northwestern pod there?
Should we start in the East or should we start with the first four? Or how do you?
Well, we'll get to the first four when we get to those games.
Okay.
Yeah, that's no problem.
I just didn't want to
say one of the first thing that all the talking heads seemed to have brought up was, well, Florida Atlantic, UConn has to play a Final Four team from last year. Well, yes and no. This is not the same Florida Atlantic team that came in on a high last year. This team came in stumbling pretty badly with a bunch of, tier three, tier four losses during the regular season, not to mention a very ugly loss against Temple. I'm not sure they're going to get past Northwestern in the first round here, so I could easily see UConn and Northwestern moving into the second round.
I just got to mention this here. I actually, in addition to our good buddy Zach Singer, I share office space as an attorney with a UConn alum who was furious today that, look at this, we've got to play two of last year's Final Four teams in the second round and third round at FAU and then San Diego State. This is awful. They screwed us. And I said, this is not last year's Florida Atlantic and last year's San Diego State team you're playing. This is this year's. I don't understand that rage by the UConn fans. I think they have one of the easier regions, honestly, not one of the harder ones.
They won't be playing either of them.
That's very possible.
Let me say, Florida Atlantic is incredibly schizophrenic. You mentioned the tier three and tier four losses, but they also showed at times that while they can, you know, trip over their own shoelaces, they can also play at a very high level. And I don't bet because, like, whenever I do, I hate losing money a lot more than I would enjoy winning it. But even if I were a gambler, I'd stay the hell away from FAU. You just never know what they're going to do.
Let's go ahead.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
I think you said this you thought was the easiest region. To me, I thought this was the toughest. I really did. I thought UConn got a bad deal, like your buddy was saying, but not because of why. He said it. I thought Iowa State coming off their Big 12 championship could have been a one seed. They're playing great. Auburn coming off their SEC tourney title. They're playing as good as anyone in the SEC, maybe as anyone in the country. Illinois is red hot, Big 10 tourney champs. I think Connecticut's road is awfully tough.
Well, see, this may
I
where I
think the other
disagree. This may
caveat
where I
is.
disagree with Joe, because I do think UConn has a chance to play FAU and will play San Diego State. I don't think they're gonna have to go through Auburn or Iowa State. I see both those teams getting knocked out earlier, but
Yeah,
maybe that's where I disagree. But
another oddity about
yeah.
this region that I wanted to point out is BYU is the sixth seed. They're actually
Yeah.
higher on the seed list than the five seed San Diego State, but they had to be moved for bracketing purposes. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go ahead. Let me go back to Sleeka here. So let's get the actual picks here in the first pod here. You are picking UConn over Stetson, correct?
Yeah, I've already gone on record as saying UConn and Northwestern are going to move on.
Well,
I
let's
think
go
one
ahead
of
and pick the third game as well. Who would win a UConn Northwestern game?
I think they're going to have Boo Booey's going to give the Wildcats a puncher's chance right here, but however, I just think UConn has too much power for the Wildcats, who have shown signs that they can beat good teams at home. They have not shown me signs whatsoever that they can beat good teams away from home. So I think UConn's going to roll in Brooklyn a lot easier than people will give them credit for.
Yeah. The second pod here is San Diego State, UAB, Auburn, Yale, Dorman. Yale, the champion of a very good Ivy League against an Auburn team that, did you know, maybe I've seen we've seen teams win conference tournaments that flame out in the first round before. And then San Diego State, UAB in the other game.
We have, Chad. I don't love finishing Sunday. I think it's late and too much to jam into a quick week. So I agree with your point. But I think Auburn's defense is absolutely stifling. Next to Houston, no one plays better D in the country than Auburn. They will be all oh. They will be all over the Yale Bulldogs. I don't think Yale will be able to keep up scoring wise with that defense all over them. I think Auburn's playing as well as they have all season. I like the Tigers there.
Tytel, what are your thoughts about this? Do you think Yale, do you think they may have a shot against Auburn? And what about the rest of this little region here?
Not a good shot. They should have lost to a bad Brown team. Then, thanks to a miracle from Matt Noling, they did not. Auburn is playing the best of any SEC team, as witnessed by their championship. And as much as Coach Jones of Yale is amazing, Bruce Pearl has it got it going this year. He's got a big man in Jahni Broome. He's got veterans. He's got Katie Johnson running around everywhere, terrorizing the offense of the other team. You can make the argument for Yale, but I do not think they have a good shot against Auburn.
Griggs, what about San Diego State UAB and then a potential, and then who would win for that game on to Auburn?
I liked how UAB played in the conference tournament. There were moments during the season where I liked them, but all in all, while they blew through the tournament, their brackets sort of fell apart a little bit. Whereas San Diego State, I just think they were better more often. And as fun as it would be to see an Auburn UAB round of 32 game, I think I'm going to go with the Aztecs.
And how about San Diego State Auburn?
Auburn just seems to have really hit their stride. They almost remind me of the last time they went to the Final Four. I think they were a 4 or 5 seed range, had a decent regular season, but not a lot of big wins, but caught fire big in the postseason. And I could see them getting by the Aztecs and going back to the Sweet 16.
All right, you got Auburn coming out of here. Let's take a look at this next little pod. And Joby, I think this one is pretty interesting. BYU Duquesne and Illinois against Morehead State. And I think this is a very, very dangerous matchup for Illinois. But I don't know if you agree with me on that or not.
I agree with you. It's very dangerous. Let's put the first one. BYU underseeded out of necessity. I am not a believer in Duquesne. I w that they aren't.
Oh, they
I don't.
exist. They're right there in Pittsburgh.
I think the A-10 final was awful basketball. I think it's just such a shame that got a bid. It really is. That's the bid steal that just drives me nuts more than Oregon or NC State. That's
Why does everyone hate on the A10? I love the A10.
BYU. Let's put them in the sun. BYU's legit. They're good. Illinois Morehead State. This is a tough one because if you're going to pick that upset, Morehead is the, after the injury, they got over the injury bug, which gave them their losses. If they didn't have those injuries, they'd be a 13 seed, not a 14. I'm very tempted, but Illinois, yeah, and along with what Dorman said, went deep in the tournament Sunday, but I got to go with Illinois.
Really? All right, we're going to put Illinois in.
Say Morehead, but it's going to be – Morehead's going to give them all they can handle. And because they gave them all they can handle, they'll wear them out for BYU to advance to Sweet 16.
And BYU onto the Sweet 16. Now, Sleek, let me swing back to you here. We've got one more pod. Wazoo against Drake at Iowa State, South Dakota State. You want to take the easy one or you want to take the hard one?
Well, I'll tell you what. If UConn fans are beating their breast about potentially having to face Iowa State, I think there's a good chance they may not have to worry about them whatsoever here. I think Drake is a team that is fully capable and will advance to the Sweet 16 here. I am not buying into Washington State at all. They've finished the season on a pretty sour note here. And I do think Iowa State, I mean, let's not forget, this team couldn't score to save their lives in the tournament against Pitt last year. Now, they'll beat South Dakota State because the Jackrabbits are not as good as they have been typically in the past when they've had guys like Mike Dom, Baylor Shireman. They just don't have a really alpha dog on that roster this year. But I do think Drake is going to be a second weekend team here.
Tita, what do you think? Or Dorman, you want to go ahead? Drake making the Sweet 16. I agree with him.
I agree with them. Quick note, if that game does happen to take place, Drake has asked Iowa State to play for many years in this great state of Iowa. Never happened. So Drake would be awfully, awfully excited if this will take place.
He's seen all the time with like Wichita State and the underdog.
Yes, sir.
Morehead State, Louisville. You see it all the time.
And they used to play. There used to be the Big Four doubleheader is somewhere, Iowa City, I think, where they would switch back and forth. Iowa would play Northern Iowa, and then Drake would play Iowa State, and the next year they'd switch. And it was a big event. So, of course, like all big events that interest the people of the area, it was discontinued.
So you're saying Iowa and Florida A&M didn't fit the bill.
Yeah.
Tytel. We are left now on these picks with a UConn, Auburn, and BYU Drake. Assuming that happened, where would you go for the next two rounds?
I think that UConn playing in Boston is going to have so many fans show up, and they're the defending champs, that unless Jani Broome grows 6 inches and can start guarding Donovan Klingon eye to eye, I think it's Huskies. And as far as BYU Drake, I think it's a toss-up because DeVries, both coach and player, are that good. I just wanted to throw out the stat that there's one team in NCAA history who's played in 30 tournaments and never made the Final Four, BYU.
Oh, really?
Oh, so you're taking BYU over Drake?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
I thought that's what he picked. John,
did you pick BYU over Drake?
In my mind or in reality, I mean, it's been a busy day, Chad, but I think that's a good pick. But I'm telling you, do not pick them to make the Final Four because they're not going to make the Final Four.
So you are taking UConn. You are taking UConn to make the Final Four.
By default, I am taking the Huskies.
Okay.
Out on a limb.
All right. We have a couple of interesting upsets here. We discussed a few others that could happen, especially this Morehead State game, which I think is worth circling. Let's jump on down, though, to the West region as I scroll a little bit. And, Griggs, I got to go to you because the first game we got to discuss is actually the first four play-in game, whatever you want to call it, Howard versus Wagner. What do you got?
Well, we've got two teams that aren't very good, to be honest with you, that didn't have good seasons overall. Howard fourth in the MEAC, Wagner even lower sixth. Good tournament runs for both of them to get there. I do think Howard has a few more pieces than Wagner does, maybe a lot more, and will win. I don't want to say they're going to blow them out, but I think they win without sweating too much.
Yeah, I'll throw this out there. A couple of things. Also, Wagner, only 7 scholarship players on the roster. It's a 7-man rotation versus a Howard team with more depth. And Seth Towns, who is now in his 18th year of playing Division I college basketball.
Yes, 18 years. Yeah, it's been remarkable. He's going into his mid-40s and still playing college basketball. And then we get on to
– it actually is his 8th season in college basketball, by the way.
He might be in his 30s for all I know, but I don't think, no, he's in his 20s. And then, you know, they get their moment to, I think Howard would be down by 10 before the ball even tipped.
Yeah, they've got no shot against Carolina, obviously. Joby, what do you think about Mississippi State, Michigan State, and the winner going up against Carolina?
You always, I never pick against Izzo to at least get a beyond his seed line. You know, he's just really good at this, and he will give Carolina fits. This is the type of game that Carolina could lose.
Like they just lost to NC State. They could do it again.
Right. But you know, Izzo's not as good a coach as Keats. So, you know, hey. But I, and once again, very tempted, but I will continue to go with the favorite here with North Carolina. The Charlotte, this is not going to be an instance where the underdog, oh, look, we got an upset, and the crowd is all fired up for Michigan State. Nope. The crowd's going to be fired up for Carolina, except for those Tennessee fans sitting there, which there will be a lot. But I think Carolina will fill that building more.
I really was hoping we'd pull off the Michigan State Carolina upset. I think it's possible, but Dorman.
I think it's very possible. You've given me two very possible upsets, and I'm gone with them. I apologize, but I think that's how it is. Carolina's good, and Carolina has that senior leadership. That's the other thing. You know, with Ryan, you know, RJ, you know, these are good senior leaders that are going to help stabilize Carolina. Even though Ryan's a transfer, and then Cadeau is the spark, you know, and then, oh, the big man in the middle who makes more money at Carolina than he can in the NBA. That's why he's still there. Bacot. Wow. I like Carolina in this game, but if they were younger, I would not choose them in this game.
Dorman, next bracket has a fascinating St. Mary's Grand Canyon game. I think this is one of the few teams that I was not hoping would say Grand Canyon would avoid this tournament, and then Alabama Charleston game also.
Real quick, I mean, St. Mary's getting sent to Spokane, where they're so beloved, and taking on Grand Canyon. Anyway, yeah. Dorman, sorry for interrupting. Yeah,
no problem. I don't love when they put these two under the radar teams against each other. Two of my favorite ones. I'd rather one. They both play power conference teams here, just because I love seeing that, and that's what the tournament's great about. But since they did. A difference of styles here. Grand Canyon is going to try and push up and down the court. St. Mary's is going to slow it down. They want a slow pace. They want to get Grand Canyon out of their offensive running up and down. So this will be a really interesting chess match, with the coaches here, Randy Bennett and Drew. Someone
Bryce
help me.
Bryce Drew.
Thank you. Really fascinating game here. I'm going to go with the underdog. I'm going the upset. I think the Lopes can take him down, up and down the floor, and the Lopes can pull this off.
Lopes pull it off. You know, I trust offenses more than I trust defenses in March Madness. Yeah. It's historically proved out that way. Other than when Virginia won it all.
we scored almost 80 points a game on the way to that.
So you had offense that year, exactly.
We had two lottery picks.
Slika, Alabama versus Charleston.
Or one lottery pick, yeah.
I think this is another game where you really have to be on alert for an upset right here. Charleston, they didn't have, what is it, the great start to the year, but once they got rolling in the Cologne, in the Coastal, I keep tripping up on that. Yeah. Keep in mind, Charleston also had to go overtime just to beat Stony Brook in the championship game right there. It's very tempting to go with the Fighting Kelseys on here, but I'd have to think Alabama, after losing a bit early, I don't see the Tide losing back-to-back games right here.
You think they bring the beat the Lopes also, if that happens?
Well, it's going to be tough in what's going to be a pretty much de facto road environment, because Lopes fans, they will travel. I'll say that as much right here, but I do not see them getting past Alabama in the second round here.
Okay. Over under at 200, by the way.
Yeah, over.
And the shame of the committee is, Samford should have been playing Alabama. Oh, and I would have gone with Samford in that one.
Samford and UAB need to get a series going without the committee. They haven't played in like a million years or something.
Well, they are so far apart. Yeah, 3 miles apart. They never
five miles. Excuse me, 5 miles apart.
Tytel.
Met in the
next bracket. Next bracket, these games in Memphis here. Clemson, New Mexico in a somewhat interesting game, and then Baylor against Colgate in what might not be an interesting game.
So Clemson, New Mexico is one of our best examples so far of the night of, do you pick the better team, which is Clemson, or the hotter team, which is New Mexico? And if you are a believer in the best team wins, you have to pick Clemson. And if you're a believer to see how they've done in the month of March, you have to pick New Mexico. I am going to pick New Mexico because we already screwed up one Patino's career. Let's not screw up another one. As far as Baylor Colgate, as much as I love my fellow Penn alum, Matt Langle, Baylor is just making too many threes, and I don't see him out coaching Scott Drew.
And do you see him out? Did you see them rolling off past New Mexico as well?
I do. New Mexico has had some injuries all year. So now that they seem to be healthy, you see what they can do when they are healthy. I just don't believe in them. I think this is a bad matchup for them just because, like, Baylor makes a gazillion threes.
Greg, so let me go back to you. It's down to Salt Lake, Dayton against Nevada, Arizona against Long Beach, and I will get Tytel and Dorman's thoughts on Arizona as well, but let's get a non-biased opinion here on Arizona's first two rounds before we get the biased ones.
Well, Long Beach, not the best team in the Big West, had a good run through the tournament. In most normal years, they'd probably almost assuredly be a 16. It's just that a lot of brackets fell apart in the under the radar. So, I think Arizona sleepwalks through that one. This other game, I've seen Nevada, and I know Joby is not a fan of theirs, but I love how they play. I think on the court, they're several lines higher than this. Whereas I almost think that these seeds should be reversed, to be honest. The last time we saw Dayton play a tournament team, they lost to Duquesne. And I think that's the only one that they played. I don't think they beat a single one. And I don't think they're going to beat one when they play Nevada.
And I don't see the Flyers handling altitude as well as Nevada has handled it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Griggs, do you think Nevada can take out Arizona?
They have a chance. It's actually a really interesting game, but no. Okay.
Tytel and Dorman, let me get both your thoughts on your Arizona team here. You think you have any problems in these first two rounds?
Dorman, go ahead.
Nevada scares me because I agree with Griggs. Nevada was not seeded properly. They're closer to a 7, maybe an 8 than a 10. So that worries me. But the overall draw of the West, I like. I think North Carolina of the ones is clearly the weakest. I like staying away from Auburn and Iowa State teams that really, really get you down on defense. I think Arizona has all the talent in the world to run through this West region and go to the Final Four. We need to play defense. Our defense hasn't been great the last few weeks. Against Oregon, they looked great in the first half. The second half, they let them score at will, and Arizona fell asleep. I like to draw a lot. If Arizona plays their game, they'll be in Arizona for the Final Four.
Well, Joby, I actually was on a radio show this afternoon, and I said, whoever wins Arizona-Baylor is going to the Final Four. Do you agree with me? And what do you think about these, about if we get these matchups, Carolina, Alabama, Baylor, Arizona?
I agree if you picked Baylor in this game.
Yes.
I actually, and no offense, guys, I do think that if you were to rank these teams, I think Baylor's playing great. And Baylor would be my Final Four out of this region. I'd go ahead and say that. I think truly one of the highest quality fun games to watch will be if it happens this North Carolina Alabama game.
Yes, I'm already.
It's going to be
forward.
Fun. They're going to go up and down. There will be Alabama's defense worries me a little, but I think Carolina's playing much better defense than they have lately. But Alabama, if they are on, they beat anybody. I mean, we're going to give up 100. We'll score 110. No big deal. Yeah. I have a feeling that as good as Carolina is, I don't know if they can score every possession. And that's kind of what Alabama is going to do to you. Baylor, on the other hand, can score every possession, you know, in that sort of game. Plus, I think I'm just getting a feeling Alabama will blow their wad against Carolina, and then Baylor will just come in and march through like the freaking, you know, stormtroopers and Star Wars, you know, and just, yeah, you know, it's just, and just pound them.
I will say there's also a revenge factor that could potentially come into play if Baylor leaves. Faces off against North Carolina. Let's not forget, Baylor was a one seed in 2022 and ended up falling to,
oh yeah,
I think it was an eight seed North Carolina, yep, that ended up going to the title game.
North Carolina team that year.
Well,
there was a good reason they were underseeded that year.
Griggs would have had him out.
Yeah, I would have had him out.
Until they beat Duke, Griggs did have him out.
I did have him out until the final day of the season. But I had them in after they beat Duke.
Right, let's go ahead and swing and push this screen over a little bit here. Take a look at the Midwest region. Titel, let me go to you in the top bracket there. Any thoughts on Montana State Grambling, first of all? And then what about that first pod there, including Utah State TCU as well?
No thoughts on Montana State Grambling. I'm certainly glad that Grambling made it. I believe first time in a while, if not forever.
First time ever.
But yeah. If you think either of these teams is upsetting Purdue in Indianapolis after Purdue's recent track record in 116 games, you are crazy.
Well, wait a second. Last two tournaments, Purdue has lost to a 15 seed and a 16 seed. Isn't this another game?
Are you calling it, Chad?
No, I'm not.
No. And now it cycles back to one, and then next year it's 2, 3, 4, on down the line.
How about Utah State TCU though, Titel? Any thoughts on this game?
Yes, I think that it's going to be TCU. I think it's a coin flip, as all 8-9 games are. I like Jamie Dixon. He does not have the best track record in March, but he's a veteran coach. Utah State has some great players, like a great Osobor, for example. But TCU just has a lot of depth. I saw them. They should have lost to Georgetown this year, which makes this pick ridiculous, I know, but I just have a feeling.
But they're not going to beat Purdue, are they?
No, they're not, Chad.
Okay. Just making certain. We're not going with a crazy pick here. Salika, let me jump over to you here. Gonzaga against McNeese in another fascinating 5-12 game, and Kansas-Samford in, I think, a fascinating 4-13 game.
This is one where I think we are going to have double-barreled upsets right here.
Oh.
Gonzaga got way overseeded just because they benefited from BYU having to move down because of the Sunday effect right here. Now, McNeese, there were a couple stumbles along the way in the regular season, but they've been virtually unstoppable in the Southland this year, and I can easily see them getting past Gonzaga. Kansas, this is a team that not healthy right now. I mean, who knows if there's something beyond the surface because they lost to a so-and-so Cincinnati team without those top two guys. And Samford, they have a lot more depth right now, it seems, than Kansas does. And I could easily see them giving them trouble, if not an outright defeat right here. But as far as who wins it.
Go ahead, Slick. Give me the last one.
But as far as who wins the second round between those games, I've got to go with McNeese in this one.
Oh, you're putting Will Wade into the Sweet 16.
Yes.
But I love this.
That is a big-ass call.
Joby, what about this Samford-Kansas team? I mean, if McCullough and Dickinson can't play, I think this is a slam dunk pick. Yeah. But even if they do play, they're banged up. They didn't play recently.
I know they
Cincinnati.
Haven't played in so long. Well, McCullough hasn't played in so long. And Dickinson obviously would be coming off an injury. I'm in 100%. There's going to be a double-digit upset. There always is. This is it. This is it. This is the one that screams out to everybody.
Yeah. And you know what we've done now? We have set Purdue up against a double-digit seed, so maybe they can keep things rolling. We'll see when we get to that game.
But we're all the way up to a 12 this time.
There is a streak. Every time a one seed loses to a 16, they win the national title the next year. It is a pattern.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just throw this out there. If you've never seen Samford play, Bucky Ball, Bucky McMillan, their
Bucky
head coach, it's a fun team to watch. And I think a Samford McNeese game would be an incredible amount of fun, even if it's going to be the game that's relegated to True TV, you know, because of who it's playing.
Who are we up to here? Dorman, South Carolina, Oregon, and Creighton Akron in the games in Pittsburgh.
Start with Creighton Akron. Creighton shoots the ball, shoots the three, very high rate. If they're on, it's going to be trouble for anyone in this tournament, let alone Akron. I don't think Akron is big enough down low to deal with the Blue Jays. I think this is Creighton's game. I think they'll just be able to score more than Akron will. South Carolina against the Ducks. The Ducks obviously red hot after marching through the Pac-12 tournament. Dana Altman's back to his March tricks. South Carolina coming off an incredible season. Everyone had him in the basement of the SEC. They had an incredible turnaround. This is a tough call. This could go either way. I'm going to go with the hotter team. I'm going to go with the Ducks. I'll go with Dana Altman's experience in March.
And this Oregon team is finally fully healthy, too, at just the first time.
And it's the matchup we all want.
Dana Altman against his former team here in an Oregon-Creighton matchup. Dorman, who would win that? Could Dana Altman's former team knock him out, or do you think he takes care of his old team here?
I'm real high on Creighton. I've been that way all year. I'm sticking with McDermott's Creighton Blue Jays. I just think they shoot the ball really well. I think they can outscore Oregon, but that would be a terrific game. I'm going with Creighton.
I should also add, from a historical standpoint, if South Carolina loses this one, let's not forget the last time they went to the city of Pittsburgh was 1997. They lost to a little 15 seed named Coppin State. They will never step foot in Steel City again after this one.
Joby, let me get your thoughts, first of all, on the first four game in the next bracket here between your Virginia Hoos and Colorado State.
I honestly do believe, and this is, I'm trying not to be Homer here, but I actually think this matchup favors Virginia if you honestly look at player by player, because Colorado State is focused. It's a team that's focused on its point guard as the foundation for all its offense, whether it's assists, a great shooter, et cetera. Well, you're meeting maybe the best ball-on-ball guard, defensive guard in the country. I mean, period. Two-time defensive player of the year, Reese Beekman. Virginia may not be the perfect team, especially on the offensive side of things, but this matchup, Colorado State, and the other thing is Virginia has sometimes problems when the other team inside can post up. Look at Carolina with Baycott, et cetera. The tallest player for Colorado State, 6'8". You know, Miner's going to be able to handle it. Yeah, Bennett's going to be able to flow and put Groves will be able to play the 4 and 5 in that situation. So all of a sudden, you're going to be stretching. Groves will be able to stretch the other team's 4 out. And so thus giving probably some open threes for a 49% three-point shooter. And so the matchup seems to favor Virginia here. And I honestly believe if things play out the way they are. Now, Colorado State, the last thing I'll say is the Colorado State also has the capability. They take bad shots. But you know what? They sometimes, like against Creighton and some of their upsets in the Mountain West, they make them sometimes. And so I actually think Colorado State's ability to hit tough shots, bad shots, I dare say, is going to determine the outcome of this game. I just think the averages are, given what we've seen in Mountain West play with Colorado State, is that they will not pull things out of their backside. And Virginia will win the game in an ugly, grinding fashion that will make everybody's eyes bleed. They will control the pace. Virginia will control the pace.
Griggs, Texas against the winner of that game and Tennessee against St. Peter's, who had a good run last time they were 15-seed, but I don't know that they're going to do it again this year.
No, this is, again, another team that in a normal year would be a 16-seed. And, I think that, like, you're going to see games that are even less competitive than normal in the 116-215 games this year, and this is certainly one of those games. I think Texas versus Virginia is a – like fascinating game. If you love ugly basketball, I think our friend Zach Singer is going to be all over this one. But I've just been so underwhelmed by Virginia. While they're able to win games, they don't do the things that you need to win this caliber of a game,
like shooting free throws.
Shoot free throws. free throws are a problem.
And I think that's going to hurt them. I just think Texas has a little bit more, but they don't have so much. They don't have so much more that they could beat Tennessee. This is a Tennessee team that could go to the Final Four.
The interesting thing about a Texas-Virginia game, if it happens, is the person who should be starting at the five for Virginia this year is Texas's five, Caden Shedrick, who transferred. So it'll be very interesting. Shedrick actually understands the pack line. It'll be interesting how that plays out. But the fact the game's in Charlotte, I think Virginia could have a lot of fans, and they might be wearing Carolina blue, mind you, but I think Virginia will have the home court situation. But yeah, if it comes down to free throws, I think we all know who the winner is.
Yeah.
What we had there, by the way, Tytel, was Dana Altman against Creighton and Rick Barnes against Texas. I mean, how awesome would that be for a pair of games?
I didn't catch that.
Clemson in the final four, and then Rick Barnes can make the triple.
Yeah.
But Tytel, let's assume we get Purdue McNeese, Creighton, Tennessee. What do you think would happen?
As much as I would love McNeese's Cinderella story to continue, I think that they just can't stop Edie. And I have no love for Will Wade, I don't think, at the moment. So not McNeese. And then Creighton, Tennessee is your does offense beat defense kind of game. And I don't love Rick Barnes in March. I love him the rest of the year. I don't love him in March. So we're going Creighton for this one.
And one more game here. Dorman, what if we have Purdue Creighton? Where would you go?
That would be a fantastic game. I'd go Purdue. Triple overtime.
Triple overtime. Purdue is in the Final Four. We got one bracket left here. Sleeka, let me start with you. In the games in Memphis in the South region, Houston against Longwood, and how about the actual real game here from Nebraska to Texas A&M?
Well, I'm sure Nebraska is going to be improved just because our good friend Tim Miles is not going to be coaching in this one, or I should say they have a better chance.
How can you say that?
But I think as far as this one, Texas A&M, they did not get screwed out of the committee this time, and I do think they've probably got a little more of a live wire team than Nebraska here, so I'm going to go with Uncle Buzz's team to win this game right here.
And how about them against, I assume, Houston? How would you like them against Houston in the second round?
It's a classic Southwestern Conference matchup right here, and I could see Texas A&M potentially giving them some fits, but I just think they're going to have like too many long scoreless stretches here, and against Houston, that's deadly. So I'm going with the Cougars here.
And we are therefore prepping Nebraska to again fail to get the first ever NCAA tournament win. Dorman, Brooklyn games. I think these are a couple of interesting games, especially Wisconsin, James Madison, and maybe Duke, Vermont, but definitely the Wisconsin, James Madison game.
Really interesting. Wisconsin's look good of late. The midseason or February swoon seems to be over. Badgers are playing really good basketball. James Madison, fantastic year. They've beaten a Big Ten team in Michigan State early in the season. They won't be intimidated. They won't back down. I just like the way Wisconsin's playing lately. I'm going with the Badgers.
All right. Joby, Duke, Vermont.
Once again, similar to what, given they're 8 miles apart, I have to make a comparison. Similar to their brethren in Chapel Hill, there is senior leadership here in Duke, and I think that does matter in March. Roach, more than Filipowski, is going to be the key factor here. And Vermont is not as good as the Catamounts usually are. Vermont's a good team, but they're kind of the bottom of the 13 line. This isn't Samford. This isn't Samford. This isn't Charleston. I think Samford might, because I just love the way Samford plays, might give Duke a ton of problems. I don't think Vermont will give as many.
And Dorman, let me go back to you real quick. Wisconsin, Duke, who would go to the Sweet 16?
Another tough game. This would be really interesting as well. I favor Wisconsin again.
All right. We've got Wisconsin into the Sweet 16. We're up to Griggs in Pittsburgh. We got Texas Tech versus NC State and Kentucky versus Oakland.
I what NC State did was super impressive in the ACC tournament. And they don't even get in without it. Even with the ACC tournament win, they're seated below the first four. They're actually below the bubble, which I believe, am I right, Stalika, the first time the ACC tournament winner's ever been below the bubble. And I think that they blew their wad. I think that that was it. They don't need to win this game. That was enough. And even if they did need to win it, I think Texas Tech would still beat them.
I would say it's the first time they've been below the bubble since the field went to at least 64 back in 1985.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't speak before that.
Oakland, a really good team. They certainly had some moments, and there are times where Kentucky, it doesn't look like they could guard a lamppost. But I just don't think.
I'm doing it personally. I'm calling the Oakland upset, but
are you really?
You've got the pick here, Griggs.
I'm not all the way there. I got to go with Kentucky. I don't think they go any further, but I do think they get by Oakland.
And I also love the idea of Texas Tech into the Sweet 16 here in this bracket. I
Yeah.
think this is the perfect region for this Texas Tech team, honestly, to at least get this far.
Do they have someone who can handle Burns? I'm dead serious. You know, do they have the inside game to handle Burns?
Look at the schedule they played in conference. I think they know how to win games.
Yes, yeah, win games, but they haven't seen that, and I do mean that.
Okay. It depends on what Kentucky team shows up. The one that won at Tennessee or the one that
I'm
lost home to
UNC
Wilmington?
I'm talking about
Oh, you're
NC
talking about
State.
NC State. Okay.
Yeah, I mean that's just
Oh no. They yeah.
Yeah.
He's a good passer too when he gets double
thing.
teamed.
You know, we haven't seen someone like that, I feel like, since Oliver Miller. I mean, it's it's a unique thing.
Yeah, he's a solid passer, Joby. I agree with
that's
you.
The thing is you could set up the three, the Horn and others. It's I'm not saying Texas Tech, you should go with it, but this also is the type of NC State team that drives you nuts, as Stalika has so well been eloquently in the past talked about. And this is also there's going to be an 11 seed that goes to the Sweet 16 and beyond. And I think this could be it.
Tytel, Boise State and Colorado are playing in the first four. Any thoughts on this game, which is, you know, involves a Pac-12 team and a Mountain West team.
This is one of those games where I think Boise State should have been seated higher and Colorado should have been seated lower. So based
which is
on
which the, is out of the field lower, the, obviously.
Yeah. Yes. So based on that, I think that Boise is the better team, and therefore I am picking Boise.
And how do you like Boise, or should it be Colorado? Either one of those teams' chances against Florida.
If healthy, not so much. But since the horrific leg injury to their big man, Micah Hamilton, for the Gators, I don't think it's going to, like, totally destroy their season. But I think that they're going to be a little off, and I'm picking the upset.
Yeah, and we know that almost pretty much every year a first four winner gets out of the first round. So I'll call Boise State slash Colorado because people are filling out brackets. That's what you're probably going to get to pick. But
and last
Boise
year
State.
That team was fairly.
Or just
put
Boise. I'll just write Boise State in there to keep Griggs happy.
Yes, keep.
And I assume Tytel, you think Marquette will beat Western Kentucky, correct?
I don't want Matt to get mad at me, but yes, I believe Marquette is going to.
Okay, Joby, what about a Boise State Marquette game?
Marquette. What conference is Boise? Okay. No, and all kidding aside, Boise is a solid team, but Marquette is something special. There's a reason why they're rated even ahead of their conference mate Creighton, who I agree with Mr. Dorman is a very, very legitimate Elite Eight team. Marquette and Shaka have something special going on.
Griggs, let me throw this one over to you. Houston versus Wisconsin, Texas Tech versus Marquette. Who goes to the Final Four?
Oh, well, Houston gets by Whiskey. I mean, I think this Texas Tech Marquette game is a great game. I think Marquette gets it done. I also think they're special. I think they, you know, in some years, this was a team that could have gotten a one seed. And having said that, they're not going to beat Houston.
All right. We have our proposed Final Four of Houston versus UConn on the top there. And if I can squeeze it in there we go. Baylor. I'm sorry. Houston versus Purdue, UConn versus Baylor. Let me go through three of you here. Dorman, UConn, Baylor, who would win it?
UConn.
Tytel, Houston, Purdue, Wow, what a game that would be. Who would win it?
Yeah.
Last year, I would have said Houston. This year, I think I'm saying Purdue.
And wow. Mr. Griggs. I'm going to go to Joby for this one. Joby, UConn versus Purdue. look what we just did.
We put
3-1 seeds in, but
I do see, and while they're both one seeds, oh, you're doing chalk. No, this really is the final I anticipate at this point in time, so I'm glad we got to it. I am going to keep the streak alive. Zach Edey brings home the title to West Lafayette. It's so tough to repeat UConn, even though UConn wins this game 66 out of 10 times. It's going to be one of the four times.
I just want to say one thing about the Final Four. Yeah, it looks chalky, but since December and maybe like since before January, these three teams have established themselves as being ahead of whoever the fourth team is. Like UConn, Houston, and Purdue. At no point did they play each other. If it plays out this way and we do get to see at least some matchups between those three, what a Final Four that's going to be.
Tytel, let me ask you this. Some people are interested in this question a lot. What do you think the final score would be if it was Purdue, UConn, and Purdue won it?
So I have this weird thing where I always pick the winning score to be 74, the win points by the winner. But I also, if the tiebreaker is for total points, I pick 151, which I know doesn't make sense. So depends which way you're asking.
So 74-73, maybe?
Sure.
74-73, a one-point Purdue thrilling win over UConn on a last-minute shot by Braden Smith, three-pointer at the buzzer. It's been predicted here. Let's say, let me scroll back
and
a little bit here.
And I'm glad you mentioned Smith, Chad, because I think he's the difference. I think having that play from the outside is the difference.
I got most of the bracket here on the screen. Maybe can't quite get all of it in here, but let me just kind of run through each of you real quick here. Do you like our Final Four, or do you have your own personal Final Four you want to share with us that differs from this? Dorman.
I do like what we've done here. Mine personally is very chalky. I got Connecticut playing Arizona, but I do agree. I got Houston playing Purdue. I love the way Houston plays defense.
And who do you have winning it?
I think Connecticut is tough to beat. Really, Connecticut.
Okay. Joby, what about you?
I love the way Houston plays. They remind me of some. I just love the defense. But they, like another team I know very well, can go through scoring droughts. You do that against, if they play them, Duke. You do that against Marquette, you lose. And I think that Houston will fall before the Final Four to either a Duke, but I can see Wisconsin there. It's not them against to a Duke or a Marquette. Let's go with Marquette.
And who do you think wins it all?
You heard me, Purdue. Purdue, and I do think it's Purdue, UConn. You know, in the final, that's okay. Sorry if that's chalk, but that's legit. You know, those teams are legit.
Stalika.
I know we only selected three Big East teams for the whole field, but I think things could potentially break right, and we may not see a Big East team lose until we get to the city of Glendale, actually, for the Final Four. So I think UConn, Marquette, and Creighton all get there because they have favorable brackets in there. And I know it's a little troubling trying to trust Arizona in this one, but I do think they can come out of the West Regional and make it to their home state for the Final Four.
And your champion
is going to be UConn to go back to back.
All right, Tytel.
I agree that UConn is the best team, but I remember at a UConn Georgetown press conference a couple months ago, Coach Hurley mentioned how the previous teams that have repeated, Duke in the early 90s, Florida in the mid 2000s, did it because they had a lot of roster continuity. Hill, mm-hmm. Leitner, and Hurley, yeah. And then all the big men like Horford and Noah and the whole team, frankly, for the Gators. He doesn't have that. He's got a great team, but he lost Sanogo and Hawkins and everybody else. So, like, there's not a precedent for that, which is why I don't think it'll be UConn. I do like Houston, especially if they get to ride the Texas way right through Dallas. I don't trust Purdue But once they get over that hump of winning a first round game, I think they can build momentum because they are good enough to win it. And I do think the Purdue-Houston winner will win it. As far as the West, I'm telling you, I've seen Arizona as a two seed. It did not look good last March, but it did not look good in the Pac-12 tourney, and it did not look good against USC. Like, there's all these reasons to pick against them, but if they're playing in LA and if Baylor isn't making threes, like, I think they're coming out of the West, but I've been dead wrong before.
I'll tell you what, I do like Arizona coming out of the West. I like Arizona actually knocking off UConn in the national semifinal before they fall to Houston in the national championship game. Houston's my pick to win it all. And I'm going a little off script here. I think Purdue does screw up again. And I'm going to go, but I'm not going to go Creighton. I'm not going to go Tennessee. I'm going with a team that we picked to lose in the first round under this bracket. I'm going Gonzaga. Throwing it out there. Greg Griggs.
I think that it plays out exactly as we picked it every single game, and we should enter this into whatever prize that pays $1 billion.
I am entering it into that, by the way, so it'll be in there.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll share with you guys, don't worry.
Yeah, I think we're getting it all correct. 100%, just like this.
On that note, that is the NCAA tournament. Griggs thinks this is the perfect bracket. Let's go and take a quick look at a couple other tournaments that were announced, beginning with the NIT.
Oh my God.
A couple of big stories here on the NIT. First of all, and Sleeka, most importantly, the rivalry is back. Xavier, Georgia, how excited are you?
Excuse me, I need to make a little bit of a wardrobe change right here. All three of our rivals wear red. Cincinnati wears red. Dayton wears red. Georgia wears red. Sorry, get that color out of here.
Yes, this is a long-standing story. There was a rivalry week probably about 12 years ago. ESPN was building up. We've got Indiana versus Purdue. We've got Michigan versus Ohio State. We've got Duke versus Carolina. And we've got Georgia versus Xavier. And it made no sense. And ever since then, this has been a little joke.
ESPN just declared every game that week as a rivalry game because it was rivalry week. It was I wish to like hell I could find it. I've been looking for it.
No, Xavier. It is on the internet now.
Just is it really?
Xavier, Georgia, 2011.
Okay. We gotta get that on.
We'll find that and show that in a future episode here. But
I'll post it when I do an NIT recap.
Great. Yeah. Okay.
Tytel, one of the stories here with the NIT was the amount of teams that declined bids, including St. John's decided they didn't want to play. Oklahoma decided they want to play. Indiana didn't want to play. Oklahoma didn't want to play. I think I mentioned them twice. Ole Miss didn't want to play. Memphis didn't want to play. Washington didn't want to play. There's a lot of teams that opted
out. Washington wasn't getting a bid.
Yeah.
they were the second automatic bid out of the Pac-12. They declined it. Yes.
Yeah, because it's the next two teams that don't.
Yeah. And that's why there's only one Pac-12 team in the field even. Tytel, any thoughts on this decision by coaches to end their kids' season because the coach would rather be out recruiting the transfer portal?
It's an excellent question that we could do a whole show on, but I'll keep it short. So my thoughts are that, number one, like, if the kids want to keep playing, which I assume many of them do, not all, then I understand that the coach has to prioritize other things, but the reason you have a coaching staff is because if the coach has COVID or has a death in the family or is busy or whatever, like, the show can go on. So I wish that the show would go on for those.
Let the assistant coach the game. Either.
Yes.
Go recruit. Yeah. Let the assistant run the game.
Why not? I also like the fact that we can get some very nice matchups like Providence, BC, a classic Big East matchup. You get the Battle of Virginia with Virginia Tech Richmond. You get the Battle of Florida with UCF South Florida. I like all the like regional rivalries, if not in-state rivalry games that we have here.
But we also have other matchups that I'm sure our panel would like. But let me tell you something else. If Xavier beats Georgia, how about Xavier potentially traveling to App State for the weekend? I would absolutely make a trip to see that happen.
Chad, I like your idea with the assistants, but how about this for an idea? Just move the date of this portal back a month. This is ridiculous.
I agree with you also. We could do another show on this.
There's, get rid of that.
That's a whole other show.
Yeah,
the portal should tomorrow? Open the Come day on. After the championship game, not the day after the Selection Sunday.
So terrible.
That's the NIT. We'll track it as we go through here our next couple of podcasts. We'll have one each week.
Griggs, CBI bracket is out. And how about that 2:15 game? UC San Diego against Chicago State. It's been more than a month since they've played a game, but they are continuing on.
Yeah, I just like that Chicago State got invited. You know, it is an invitational. It's not a championship. And, good on them for inviting them. I don't think they have a chance.
Games are played in Daytona. Bethune-Cookman is in the event. That's their home court, their home field. So,
yeah. I will be traveling to Daytona to cover this whole event. Hoops HD has agreed to let me out of the bunker and pay all my
expenses. No, we're giving you a Flow Hoops subscription for the weekend. That's what we agreed to do. I thought that was pretty generous of us.
Yeah, we still have the guard dogs keeping an eye on the bunker, by the way.
The CIT is back. Their idea was to have 16 teams and 4 4-team pods. You'd have four champions of those 4 4-team pods. The LED was 16 teams. They only got 9. They have 1 4-team pod, the Lou Henson pod there, being played in Tarleton. Then the other two pods are Fort Wayne versus Bowling Green, Alabama AM versus Austin Peay, and Norfolk State gets their own little pod of their own, all to themselves. They'll let you play the winner of the Alabama AM, A&M, Austin Peay game. They buy right into the semifinals. That's the CIT. We'll update you on that.
I like this tournament. I just wish they would. I wish they could have gotten 16 teams. There's a lot of teams that could have played in this and would have been fun to watch.
One other event postseason. It's the end. It's time for the Hoops HD 2024 ACA tournament.
Yes, it is.
Now, we've had some problems. We've been trying this like 8 or 9 years, I think, and every year we have some problems, and most of them seem to be related to where we're playing the games. We tried it on a ship, a boat, it sank, Griggs.
Yes.
We tried it in a ballroom that was too small to even hold a court in it.
Yeah. There were some oversights.
Didn't we try somebody's private island 1 year?
Yeah, they got
Pablo Escobar's island.
Yeah.
Now, as I mentioned, I am an attorney, and I actually was mentioning this problem to another attorney friend of mine. He said they had a great court that we could play at. It is an amazing court. In fact, he called it the Supreme Court. Oh. So we've got a court this year. You can't get better than the Supreme Court for a basketball game, can you, Griggs?
I wouldn't think so, just the name alone.
And the best part is it comes with 9 referees. Look at these guys. Look at them. I mean, they went all black instead of black and white stripes. We've got to work on the uniforms a little bit, but I think they're ready to go.
We got 3-man crews right there for all
the three-man crews. So we have referees, we have a court, and we have the entire field that showed up too soon there. You should not have seen that. Sorry about that, guys. Hope nobody saw that. Little glitch there, but we had a leak come out. I'm sorry about that. We will reveal it Selection Sunday style. I apologize. But we have a number one seed. We have a team that gets a first round bye all the way through. It is the team.
Is it High Point?
High Point was in the CBI. This is the team that had the most impressive performance of all of championship week, Griggs. It is the Pacific Tigers.
Yes. I mean, they're already no one is more deserving of the ACH than Pacific after what they did in their tournament.
The rest of our games are split into regions. We begin with our famous Centenary versus Stallings region. Our Centenary Award winner was Mississippi Valley State, worst team in D1. DePaul is our Stallings Award winner, worst power conference team. Dorman, you got a pick in this game.
Yes, Mississippi Valley State, please.
Please, Mississippi Valley State.
Bring your announcers.
Yeah.
Our second region is the AC8 is greater than IT region. There are reasons why these teams turned down the NIT. It was not because they did not want to play, as we may have mentioned. It is, in fact, because they wanted to play in the AC8. And that is why both Indiana and St. John's are in our event.
Wow. And they get the winner of the Centenary Stallings game.
That's going to be tough. I don't know if they can beat that Centenary Stallings winner.
Yeah.
Griggs. The next region is the Griggs' preseason Final Four region.
We have to go there.
I mean, two amazing teams here. And look at this. We got Arkansas and Miami. I mean, what amazing seasons they had.
Right.
Look at that. If Griggs picks you next season to be in the Final Four, you're going to the ACH.
We could also call this the Jimmy Johnson region because you got Jimmy Johnson's college team versus the team.
Yeah, why don't we call it that instead of my Final Four region?
Last but not least, we have the best announcers region.
Yeah, definitely not least.
Mississippi Valley State's Caleb Brunson and Andre Williams Jr. are there. Let's hear from them.
We ain't here to and Andre, that's game! And that will be game! And that will be game! And that's down field that first win! First win! Oh,
What is this saying?
These guys are the best. Who could they possibly match up against?
They don't have a chance. Why even play the game?
Nobody, not even Jim Nance. It's over. Jim Nance actually declined a bit to the ACA to go up against them. It's over.
You could have at least done Pitt and have it send it in Jerome. You know, I mean, Pitt's angry right now.
We have the MEAC bonus game. Greg, so tell me what the MEAC bonus game was, if they did not remember.
It was back in the day. Well, the MEAC had two transitional teams at the time that weren't eligible for the automatic bid. And like a lot of conferences now, they didn't want them to miss out on the conference tournament experience. So they got to travel there. And on the day of the championship game, it was a doubleheader between the two transitional teams.
And the championship game.
Yes.
And we loved it. It was the cold MEAC bonus game. That's what it was. Yeah. It was a real regular season game. And this year, our MEAC bonus game is going to be between Stonehill, who did not qualify for the Northeast tournament, and Chicago State. Oh, wait, Griggs, this is what you called for. Let's fix the name, though. This was the Northeast Conference.
Yes. Yeah.
You called for this one. We got it.
Yeah, we got it at the ACA, at the Supreme Court.
The one team that did not qualify for the Northeast Conference Tournament and the team that's coming in next year.
Yeah.
But I wonder where Chicago State's got you play. Maybe they'll play both events.
I mean, I think they will,
They're busy this week.
Oh, yes, on that note, let's go to any final thoughts for any of you about anything that we discussed. Hey, I'll pull this down here. Salika, let me start with you.
Now, since we don't have a day 14 of a championship week, I also wanted to touch briefly on the A-10 championship game between Duquesne and VCU. Keep in mind, about the 17-minute mark, the confetti prematurely went off that was like in Duquesne colors. This one, they were tempting fate here because the Dukes were cruising at this time, but they couldn't hit the broad side of the barn after that had happened, where I think they went like 1-18, 1-19, and had to hold on for dear life against a VCU team that was equally offensively inept. But on a different note, as far as Duquesne, we also want to salute Keith Dambrot, who is going to be retiring after the season. So one way or another, he's going to go out on a high note for the Dukes, who are making their first tournament appearance since 1977, and a team that starred future NBA star Norm Nixon.
Oh, wow. I haven't heard that. That's good for him. Joby.
Yeah. All right. So for all the bracketologists out there, we learned one big important thing, and it's not just the Mountain West stinks. The big learning lesson is stop bracketing on Friday. I mean, it is clear what they do. It is extremely clear with the Virginia inclusion and some of these other seeding components. It's clear what happens is that's the day the committee brackets. That's the day
seeds.
They set their seed list. At that point, once the seed list is set, then it doesn't matter if Virginia loses an overtime game, you know, on a prayer to NC State, because people's opinions are locked in at that point. They're not going to slide way up and down. You know, people aren't going to grab someone who's well inside the seed line and then pull them out. You know, you pretty much, within reason, of course. We saw that this isn't the first time we saw this. When Virginia Tech won the ACC, Notre Dame still kept their bid. Everybody assumed, Virginia Tech would bop out Notre Dame. Didn't happen. That's what most bracketologists missed that year. This year, most bracketologists thought NC State, me included, thought NC State would bop out Virginia. That didn't happen. Because what they simply did is, when NC State stole a bid and Oregon others, they just kept moving the seed line list down for the most part. And it takes a lot in that committee room to motion, to change the order. Sure, there'll be debate, but it's, you know, when you're talking about last team in, but it's very much set. And so my advice to bracketologists is look at what you think midday Friday.
I think that's fascinating. It's something that I was going to mention to Titel or Rocco to maybe try to compare where they were at that point, only modifying from automatic bids. Something we could look at maybe next year. I think it'd be need to look at. Titel, let me go to you next.
I have no desire to look at my bracket again, Chad. Kudos to Joby and to Rocco for doing fantastic. I got to cover the CAA and ACC tourneys in D.C. the past 10 days. It wore me the hell out, frankly, but it was also exhilarating and fantastic. And I saw Charleston win a championship in overtime, and I saw NC State win 5 games in 5 days, and crowds and food vouchers and great photos and fans and everything. It was just so much fun. So once I get a good night's sleep, it'll be even more fun. And continued coverage in the weeks ahead. So stay tuned, all you readers and viewers and everything.
And you're going to be in L.A. and at the Final Four, am I correct?
Spoiler alerted, yes, I will be at L.A.
Sorry.
Look, it's not really. I will be at the West Regional for the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, and I will be in Glendale for the Final Four. So I will try to get some goodies for all you loyal folks.
Awesome. Dorman.
Yeah, there's so many cool stories when you dig into the tournament and teams and players and coaches. One that is really cool story to me, Greg Campy, the coach at Oakland. He was named the head coach in 1984. He's been the head coach at Oakland for 40 years. Before that, he was at a Division II, and he was like the school's like second or third choice, and they had to take him because they were in a jam. And 40 years at one school, when we see coaches jumping left and right, is just a really cool story. He'll be in the tournament this weekend. They play Kentucky. Hats off to Coach Campy, an incredible career, definitely well-deserving of a bid this year, and wish him all the best.
I think of a talking coach is also kind of mentioned the Long Beach story here as well, which you didn't mention earlier. Dan Munson agreed with the school to end his time there, just coach out at the end of the season before the Big West tournament, turned around and won the darn thing. Now going on to the NCAA tournament. If this team makes a run, wins a couple games, sorry, Titel, sorry, Dorman, I know they played Arizona first. I wonder what the school would do. Do they go back and say, you know, remember we told you, think we're getting ready? Yeah, maybe we're changing our mind. But Griggs, you want to finish off the show?
Yeah, we didn't really, like, we did championship week notebooks all week long. We didn't do one really after the field was announced Sunday. That's kind of what we did today. And despite, like, one of the things that we didn't really talk much about was just what an unusual year it was. A lot of the teams that were snubbed, quote unquote, St. John's, Indiana State, Providence in particular, who else? Seton Hall. Well, normally, like, I think that, you know, the ACC had a team win its tournament that's seeded below the bubble and wouldn't have gotten in without it, as did the A-10, as did the Pac-12, as did the American. Am I leaving any out? Was there?
I think the Mountain West as well. New Mexico came in the 11th seed.
Potentially, yeah, with New Mexico on the 11 line, yeah, below the bubble, New Mexico would not have gotten in. So, you know, in a normal year, that doesn't happen, much less happen 5 times. It might happen once every 3 or 4 years where a team wins a power conference tournament that was below the bubble. I believe the last time it happened was Oregon State back in 21. Am I wrong about that?
And Georgetown at the same time.
Oh, and Georgetown at the same time. So I guess that year it happened twice. So while those teams felt that they got snubbed and while bracketologists missed their picks, had things played out normally, they wouldn't have been snubbed, and you wouldn't have missed those picks because those teams would have been in. Indiana State, in a normal year, if you wondered if they got snubbed or not, in a normal year where that doesn't happen 5 times, is in. They were the 3rd team out.
And I'll say this for the St. John's people out there, for the Oklahoma people out there, even for the Indiana State people out there. There's another – you could have gotten in. All you had to do was win more games. You didn't do it. Even Indiana State – all you had to do was beat Drake in the championship game. You couldn't do it. You lost 2 out of 3 times. So
Illinois State at home. Killed them after the getting into the rankings.
Yep. But I guess on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. We will be back again next Monday night with a review of the first two rounds and a preview of the Sweet 16. A couple more shows after that, once every week. But on behalf of David Dorman, John Tytel, David Griggs, John Salica, and Joe B. Fortson, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.